fun and info. Finfo. Or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Well, as a naturopathic doctor, we always follow these principles, and one of them is prevention is the cure. So what would you do? What would you think? What would you feel like if I actually mentioned that you could perhaps prevent something like Down syndrome?
Well, I mean, preventing, I mean, with other than, like, you mean when it's already happening, right? Like in the womb or something, or you're just saying?
Absolutely. I think, yes, this is, so Down syndrome may be the first of the genetic disorders, because as we know, with other things that we can prevent, we've got modifiable risk factors with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, chronic health issues, obesity, et cetera. This is genetic something. Can we actually, I think Down syndrome, we've got a little hint that it may be the first of the genetic disorders to respond in the womb to gene therapy.
Yeah, it's exciting. Genetic issues, yes, if we have the mother has proper nutrition, a lot of these things can be avoided, but we're never going to avoid them all. There's always going to be some inherited, or for some reason the B vitamins didn't absorb. Whatever it is, these are always going to happen. And we can actually test and know if the baby's going to be born with Downs months and months and months before the baby's delivered. Now in the womb, we're going to start to get tools to fix it. Gene therapy already been used for a few things. A team of scientists, this is according to the BBC, added a gene called Exist, X-I-S-T is what they named it, to lab-grown stem cells with Down syndrome, and it switched out. It switched out and it normalized the DNA. Now, this is in a Petri dish, but it's coming, Holly.
Wow.
It's coming.
So, yeah. I mean, especially, I mean, so we know of Down syndrome. It's also known as trisomy 21, okay, because basically what happens is there's a third copy. There should only be two chromosomes, right? But there's a third copy, actually, of chromosome number 21. That's why it's called trisomy 21. So this with stem cells in a Petri dish, that's, I think, absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing that this is. These are some of the things, you know, it's like we're always talking about, you know, naturopathic medicine or getting back to our roots or going much more natural. But this is where I think there's so much fascinating things going on as far as technology and advancement. It's just how we use it and also how we portray it. And I think we can have the best of both worlds in this way.
Yeah. And here's one of the reasons why this story is important. Natural medicine is extremely and appropriately biotech friendly. Listeners, I want to say this again. Natural medicine is extremely biotech friendly. There's this illusion out there that, well, you know, it's not natural, so therefore it's outside of it. Meaning, well, you know, it's you know, this is genetic manipulation and there's nothing natural about it. It's not the way that it was supposed to be, so therefore naturopaths aren't gonna embrace it. It simply isn't true. As a matter of fact, the biggest tech junkies I know in medicine are naturopathic doctors, because they love what's coming and the open-mindedness that's basically born into naturopathy is going to enhance and embrace when these techniques are going to be beneficial. We're going to be highly critical until that. But Holly, don't you think it's important for us to understand that as natural practitioners that technology isn't a phobia or something that makes us nervous? It's something that when it's correct, we're going to embrace.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about adding this gene called X-IST, so I think it's like, yeah, don't exist, please, because you're looking at Down syndrome, where there's an extra little thing going on. And if we can turn off one of those, you know, that extra chromosome found in the female embryos, I mean, I believe, for me, I think it's the ultimate of what we do. It's like, let's think this through. Okay, we've got too many genes. We might need to turn one off, okay, if we can find it early enough, and then perhaps save somebody from the risks that are associated with an extra gene. I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with being born with Down syndrome, you can have a quality of life, but there are physical risks. It is an aberrant situation. It is not sort of the normal, although everybody has their own normal, right? People that are born with no legs, that's normal for them. People who are born with Down syndrome, that's normal for them. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about, I think, the risk-benefit ratio. And using technology like this, I think the benefits stand to outweigh the risk. And I think that's amazing.
Well, I do. And we're going to tiptoe through the philosophy and morality garden on this one, aren't we? Do we, is it appropriate for physicians to manipulate the genes in a womb? I mean, you know, all of these questions with the gene therapy and biotech stuff come up.
Well, I
Or Holly, hold on, I'm going to throw one other curve at you.
Let's say you're
a person that does not believe in that. Whatever God gives us, that's it, right? And the court says you have to do it because it's, you know, they take eminent domain over the child and say it's better for the child. And they say that the state doesn't want to maybe have to share in the costs of a Down's baby versus a normal one. I mean, are we slippery slope with this? Because that's what our listeners really want to know. Is this going to turn into some government program that we're going to have to do and lose more choice?
Well, I think it's really interesting. And I think when you propose it to me, taking the swing at it, when you're throwing me that curve, the way that I saw it from a medical perspective is it would be just like there have been surgeons that have gone in the womb to repair a heart, right? A heart valve that they were able to detect was not functioning properly in vitro. And for me, I think of it the same way. I mean, I understand that it's genetic makeup and perhaps there's a little bit different of a discussion, but maybe not so much.
Well, that's how I view it. I don't view it as a God activity. I don't view it as anything like that. Listeners, I come through the eyes of a physician. I don't come through the eyes of a pastor, a religious cleric, or whatever. But I do think it goes just with what you said, repairing a heart valve, repairing something. It's adding the genetics. But I hope this gene type of therapy, and when you look at other inherited disorders, Tay-Sachs disease, other ones that occur, I hope it doesn't get trampled through the moral philosophical garden, because this technology is going to be here real soon, and I'd like to see every child have the opportunity to maximize their potential. I would.
It would be nice, Yeah. There's a lot of discussion out there about everything. People seem to have their opinion, but once again, it's why I'm such a proponent and I'm such an advocate and hopefully an empowerer of people being able to not just jump on the bandwagon here, there, or, you know, whatever's driving by, but to really think these things through, especially if it's happening to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other thing I want to touch on here is I believe Downs is preventable. It's debatable. I mean, it's very, very hotly contested. But I do believe it is a folate deficiency condition. And again, you can have women that take folic acid their whole lives and still they'll get Downs because maybe they don't convert it to being active. Maybe that's where the gene defect is, or maybe they don't absorb it well. So it doesn't mean Downs isn't going to happen if you give everyone folic acid. But I do believe that a prenatal, especially in women 35 to 45, a little older, that are going to try and deliver, I think that part of this is ramping up our prenatal education along with having this ready in case it happens.
Well, I think that type of education, it goes without saying, needs to happen all the time. And I think when we're looking at nutrients, especially, I mean, we look at folic acid when a woman is pregnant. I do believe that the recommended daily allowance is not the optimal for women. Not especially because, yes, I have said it before, and I think it's a bad analogy, and I'm trying to find another one that your genes, your genetics kind of load the gun, your lifestyle pulls the trigger. It depends on what those genes have exposed to. And if we can protect them with higher doses of antioxidants like folic acid and DHA, when a woman is pregnant, hey, you know what? We're doing some good there. So many conversations to have, but that's what we do here all the time on Radio MD, radiomd.com. We're just trying to talk to help you stay well.